Praise God. Good works. We hear the term, and good works have value. We just heard about the ministry that Julie has and the wonderful things that they're doing. In this church, we know about good works, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People. We do a lot of things designed to help people and bless people. Maybe give people opportunities that they wouldn't have if we weren't here. We sort of get that. We get the idea about good works. Pastor always says, go out and do something good for somebody this week. And I hope that we all need that, because we should be. Mm-hmm. But why do we do what we do? Our beloved's favorite questions, right? Y'all probably all know about her. What are you doing? Why are you doing it? We kind of know what we're doing. Do we know why we do it? Motivation is an important thing.
Has someone loved us first?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, sometimes we may do things without the best motives, and sometimes we may not even realize it. But a motivation that I would say is a way to tell whether motivation is good or not is it essentially selfish? Does it really come to serving us instead of serving the other person? When it's good, it's from a genuine desire to show love. And like Tim said, because he loved us first. Sometimes we have good things that we're doing, but they're misdirected. It's a good thing, but because of the application, maybe it's not working. The results aren't as good as we might have hoped. But our objective is clear. We do some wonderful things here in this church. We provide a place that's safe. We accommodate the needs of broken bodies pretty well. And I think that we also do the other things, but it's something that we might need to remind ourselves every so often why we're really here. Because we reach the body, we reach the broken bodies, but do we reach the broken souls? Because that's why we do it. That's why we're here. Let us never forget that. Let's go to the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 14. I'm just going to read a short passage today. But he says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Jesus calls us the light of the world. The light is a very interesting thing. I wrote down here a few of what I call the facts of light. Darkness is completely incompatible with light. You can't have both in the same place. Light, by its very nature, causes the darkness to cease. They cannot be in the same place. It's by light that we see, and we don't stumble, says the blind man. But light has properties that we don't completely understand. If you talk to physicists, you talk about how light behaves in some ways like a wave, and it goes through things, and other ways it behaves like a particle, and it bounces off of things. So much of the life that we live today is responsible in one way or another, or is facilitated in one way or another by light in its different forms. Radio waves or light waves. Infrared waves. Thing that you point at your TV works by infrared. X-rays. We have been able to look and discern so many things that go on with the body. It's a form of light. Of course, light brings life. It's by the light that the plants grow. It's by the light that we're even able to live at all. So it's a fitting way for Jesus to describe his disciples on the earth. God himself is beyond our understanding, and he is the source of light. And he's even bigger than that, because light existed because he said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And then Jesus also called himself the light of the world. And I didn't put it on the screen, but John chapter 8, verse 12 is just one of the places that he says it. Then he spoke of him, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Our light is his light. We light the way to him. We are his representatives here on the earth. Are we good ones? The gospel message is also described in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 as light. And Jesus then throws in something that almost doesn't seem to fit. He says, just a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Modern politicians have picked up on this phrase and tried to apply it to our nation. Now, it was first used by John Woodford back in 1630, and he was probably closest in his thinking to what Jesus had in mind when he said that. Because he wanted the colony that was being founded to be an example of how to live as Jesus would have us to live. Since then, politicians have kind of grabbed onto that and used it for their own purposes. I love Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan is probably the best known for taking that and applying it to, you know, what he wanted America to be. But when you read the description that follows behind that, well, those are all good things, but they're not what Jesus meant when he used that phrase. The concept of the context here is, again, light. Because if you have your city on a hill, when the world is dark, everybody can see the lights of that city. And so now we have introduced, though not explicitly, the concept of unity. Because it's all those little lights that come together and make that light that everybody can see. Then he moves on in this passage to the lamp. It talks about a lamp. If you take a lamp and you cover it up, well, it doesn't make any fit. It's as if you didn't even have a light, because you covered it up, none of the light gets out. And so often we're tempted to live our lives that way because it's easier. There's less ridicule, there's less friction. We're more comfortable in the world because we don't have to explain. Hide the light. And back then, you know, they're not talking about an electric light, they're not talking about a flashlight, they're talking about a lantern that has a flame in it. So you cover that up with a basket, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to completely extinguish the light and still go out, or you're going to burn your house down.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And you go catch that basket on fire.
Yeah, sure.
And I mean, maybe there's a whole other sermon in there about the light of God that cannot be quenched. You better not be trying.
Yeah.
And no, he says, that's not what you do with the light. That's not what you do with that lit lamp. You put it on a stand.
Yeah.
And when you put it on a stand, you're sharing the light with everybody who's in the house. Even the people who don't have a light. 1 Samuel chapter 7 talks about, and I don't thoroughly understand this concept, but it talks about members of your household, your children, your unbelieving spouse being sanctified by your presence there. I don't thoroughly understand that. But the concept is sort of there. And he uses the city, and he uses the house. We already mentioned how all the little houses with the little lights make up that city that you can see. The public light comes from the private lights of each of us living our lives according to his principles. Why is it that we shine our lights? He says that they may see your good works. Works that are done in the dark are not seen. In fact, you can't even see what you're doing, which probably means
that you're not. I knew that was going to happen. I knew those batteries were about to go out.
We're still here, though.
All right. Well, praise God. I guess that's why the recorder was closed. The works that are seen, works that are done in the dark, are not seen and not done well, perhaps even by you. And if somebody listens to this who's blind, they're saying, "Hey, what are you doing? You're betraying all of us." Of course, there are ways that you can train to overcome the fact that you can't see. But the fact of the matter is, there are a lot of things that you just can't do as well. There's no getting around that. You've got to have help from somebody else who can make use of the light. But that is why programs often that are set up by governments, by people who probably meant well, don't work. Because they're not done in the light. And John talks about people who despise the light and who prefer the darkness because those evil works also are hidden by the darkness. The light dispels that. In the light, you can see clearly to do what you need to do. And not only that, other people see what you do. And when they see what you do, they're drawn to the source of the light. That's the purpose of our good works. And that's why we shine our light. Good works spring from faith, James chapter 2 tells us. That's the way that it becomes obvious that you have faith because you're doing those good works. They're important. They reflect God's heart. And they have the goal of saving the soul. So we ask ourselves, what is our motivation? Is it a selfish motivation? Sometimes we can do that and not even realize it. Because we are seeking that affirmation. We're seeking that thank you. We're seeking that attaboy or attagirl that says, "Wow, you're a good person. Wow, you've done a great job. Man, what you're doing is so great." It makes us feel good. And sometimes we get misdirected and we start doing good things for maybe not the best reasons. And if you have been disabled for any length of time, you've met this person. I call him Super Helper. And the Super Helper is a great person. They are actually people that we really appreciate because they get things done. And they do good things. And we need them. But the danger is when your identity becomes wrapped up in those things that you do. And a lot of times, these folks will take offense when you reject their help. Because on one level, because it's become their identity, because it's become who they are, you're rejecting them when you don't want their help. And in fact, they may inadvertently, because it's become such a thing, they may inadvertently be doing harm instead of doing good, because it's become all about the action and we've forgotten the purpose. Maybe it's a sense of duty. Maybe we get paid for doing it. Maybe there's something else involved, but we're supposed to do it, and so we do it. Or we feel obligated because of what our family or friends expect, what our society expects, what our church expects. But all of that goes back to a self-centered view. What we need to have is a view of love. What we need to have is a true concern for others that is not looking for glory, is not looking for affirmation, not looking for thank yous, not looking for that gratifying quick result. And we love it when we can do something, we can immediately see, hey, that worked. I did good. The concern for the immediate need can sometimes overshadow the greater concern for the real need. And there is no greater need than salvation. That's why we're here. So keep on. Keep on doing the good works. We need the good works. There's real needs that are being met. And praise God, we have people meeting those real needs. But as we go forward, let us always keep in mind, you are the light of the world, as Jesus said. Your purpose, my purpose, our purpose as a church, our purpose as believers, is to illuminate those good works with the light of Christ. And let His light shine through you. Because the goal is the soul. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've given us a special mission. And we are delighted to be a part of your work in this area. Just pray that you help us to find the ways in which you want us to draw in those souls, to bring those people to you. We've got this fancy new baptistry back here that's almost ready to be able to baptize anybody, even if they are not able to get in it for themselves. Lord, I want to see that thing put into service. I want to see people lined up back there to get baptized and to make that public proclamation. I'm ready to follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your bountiful blessings that we're able to do this. It is an honor. It is a privilege to be able to serve you. You don't have to use us, but you choose to use us because you made us like you, and you made us to find our fulfillment. I've talked about not getting off and getting lost in the or distracted by the gratification that comes. But there's a part of that that's healthy. There's a part of that that comes because we're made like you, and because when we're doing those things that you call us to do, there is a joy that comes from that. It's not necessarily a bad thing to feel that. It's a good thing. But let us always remember the objective is to bring people to you. Help us, Lord, to do the best we can. In Jesus' name.